Let's begin with a word of prayer. We have a very important study to do this morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher, open our eyes to the truth of what's going on in Scripture, why these things are given to us in the Word of God. Let's pray. We are so thankful for the Word of God, that you've given to us your Word, you revealed to us yourself and your Word. But Heavenly Father, we'd be no better off if you had not given us the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who opens up the truth of Scripture, makes it important to us in our lives. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in this powerful chapter of the Bible. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, describe a life without love. Without spiritual love, you're an echoing sound which brings attention only to yourself. Verse 1. And then in verse 2, without spiritual love, you are nothing. And then in verse 3, without spiritual love, you spend your entire life to no eternal life benefit. You have eternal life, but no profit. You'll be saved forever because of Jesus Christ. But at the judgment seat of Christ, you will experience shame in that you did not do something with your saved life. Waste of time on earth. In reality, you just took up space, but you contributed nothing to the glory of Christ, to the angelic conflict. Now we move in 1 Corinthians 13 to what a life with spiritual love looks like. We're now going to explore 16 impacts of spiritual love. What spiritual love will add to your life? By way of introduction to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, I want to note three major points of introduction. The first point, this spiritual love can flow through you, these 16 impacts, only by the Holy Spirit. So you must know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then walk and live in the Holy Spirit. Secondly, as we go through these 16 impacts, I want you to always be aware, this is what spiritual love is, not what we are. Spiritual love is long-suffering. So be sure we understand this describes what spiritual love is, not what we are. Spiritual love is these things, and this richness flows through us and therefore reflects Christ. The third point of introduction. And this one is brought on by the climate in the world we live in today, especially in the United States. Jesus Christ made a strong point that we're to love one another. That is another of the same kind, another believer. And I still get comments from people, well, are we supposed to love the unbeliever? I'm telling you what Scripture says. Love one another. Now, why is this so important? Because people across America today are growing more and more against Jesus Christ and against Christianity, especially those who live by the morals of the Bible. You're attacked if you are against adultery, promiscuity, homosexuality, such things as this, and you're against them because this is what the Bible teaches. If you just talk about them, okay. But the moment you say, this is what the Bible says, you're attacked. You're attacked. Senator Bernie Sanders told the Senate hearing, whatever you think of him, it's not the point. The point is he is talking before Senate hearing here. said that Christians should not be allowed to serve in high positions in this government. They should not be allowed to serve. Regardless of what you think of him, this is what he had to say. And this is echoed by others. The president, the vice president, are constantly badgered primarily because of their Christian beliefs. Because they have Bible reading, even Bible studies in their office. I think one of the big unfortunates in America today is that our children are not taught in this great educational system, not taught the truth about our founding fathers. For an example, I don't know if you've been taught this. In the first meeting of Congress, they spent the first 2 hours discussing Bible scripture. First 2 hours in Congress, politicians talking about the Bible. They begin the session with prayer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But more and more, the Main Street media, and I could go through a lot of papers that I won't, Main Street media attacks almost every demonstration of Christianity. They've made it certain you do not pray publicly in schools. Our fathers, forefathers, would have laughed at even such a proposal. They wouldn't have even considered it. But it's not only considered, it's now law. You can't pray at public sporting events. I was impressed with one high school football team. Came out of the dressing area, and nearly every one of them carrying a sign, "In God We Trust," because they were not allowed to begin the game with a prayer. And so they just jointly joined together and made that commitment. You cannot state your views publicly, politically, about Israel and the Jews as being founded on the Bible. You can say what you want to say, but if you say the Bible to you, you're going to be attacked for that. And if you talk about the biblical history of the Jews with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're shunned, ridiculed. Satan, now listen, what I'm doing, I'm introducing why we're going to study it is necessary for us to have spiritual love for one another. Satan first removed the Bible, and by that I mean the authority of the Bible, from the judicial system. No absolute standards. Hal Lindsey pointed out Friday night, quote, "In the first 180 years of the Supreme Court, its justices were almost always Protestant. Today there is one Protestant justice, Neil Gorsuch," and he was raised a Catholic, and there are now just a great assortment of different types of things going on the Supreme Court, but only one Protestant. And then, Satan has done a masterful job of removing the Bible from the educational system, schools. What happens when you do that? You're no longer allowed to even teach creation as an alternative to evolution. Can't teach that in public schools. Private schools, yes. Not public schools. And thirdly, first judicial system. Secondly, educational system. And thirdly, Satan is doing a masterful job in removing biblical authority, maybe not the Bible, but biblical authority in churches, a multitude of churches. For an example, the United Methodist Church believe and teach that the God of the Bible and Allah of Islam are the same God. And we should jointly worship together, both Muslim and Methodist. Check it out on Google. It's just amazing, people. Few seminaries in America teach that this book is absolute authority. Few seminaries, and I'm talking about Christian seminaries, teach that this book is the absolute and final authority. The Bible is a final authority for all discussion. Christians are being tagged in our society. They need your prayers. We need your prayers, support, love one another. The battle is against us. They have been systematically, now Lindsay's words, they have been systematically filtered out of the process. They can win elections, but are largely excluded from the judiciary, from most places of importance at universities, leadership in the national think tanks, entertainment, from thousands of other highly political, influential positions. Quoting Hal Lindsey, the nation, America, was founded on Christians, granted by Christians, on Christian principles, became the envy of the world. America used to be the envy of the world. It provided the citizens of America with more freedom, more prosperity for just the common man than any other nation in history. Now, those Christians are becoming outcasts in the nation they built. And it's not just the Christian faith that's under attack, but Christian values, Christian morality. Now, this is a spiritual warfare in America that Christians are involved in, people. Your family, your friends, church, work, wherever. We are in a battle. Spiritual battle. It doesn't have anything to do with rationality. Doesn't have anything to do with intellectually talking with these people. When the establishment comes after you because you're a Christian beliefs, recognize that the source of this hostility is supernatural. It's supernatural. They don't even understand why they hate Jews, why they have disdain for Christians, and why this is growing in America. Satan is behind the supernatural hatred of God's people, Jew or Christian. And Satan is going all out to destroy the church and its influence. This church, small as we are, every Bible church in America, he's already done a great job on denominational churches, large denominational churches. And he's going after small churches. And everything that followers of Christ have built and believe in, Satan is going to seek, is seeking to destroy. And people, this includes you. This includes your family. Not only your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your family, your friends, all who are believers in Christ, part of the body of Christ. More and more, hated by the world. This is not something new in history. It's new in American history. But don't show your ignorance of world history by saying it's never been like this before. It's been worse. A lot worse. But it's now happening in America. Look at John 15 a moment. John 15. Let's read from verse 18. Verse 18. Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples just prior to the Garden of Gethsemane, his arrest, trials, crucifixion. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hates you. So let's don't get all upset about all of this. If you were of the world, the world would love you, would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this world hates you, because he took you out of it. Now, the question is, Gary Horton used to ask this question. If they were shooting Christians, would they shoot you? In other words, would they even know you were one? So we're talking here about those who want to make their position known, that they are believers in Christ. The world hates you. Verse 20. Remember. Now, before you can remember anything, you've got to first know it. So just remember this based on knowing something. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and they do, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. So, when you pray for Christians, not just Trump and Pence, but Christians all through the political system, the judicial system, the churches, school, home, work, and family, remember, this is about Jesus Christ. So we should support each other. Continuing verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know God the Father. They've abandoned him. Romans chapter 1. They've abandoned God. You talk about how God created the world? That's, you know what? You need to see a doctor. If you think that all the galaxies are here because God opened his word, opened his mouth, and spoke, you're a psycho. You're not even to be listened to. This is what's going on in the world. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. Got to know what sin is to know that you've sinned. But now, they have no excuse for their sin, sin of unbelief. He who hates me, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now, they both seen and hated me and my Father as well. It's not about us, but we're the target. Verse 25. It's what we're studying in Acts on Wednesday night. Saul wanted to wipe out Christ. So what did he do? He arrested and murdered Jews who believed that this Jesus was the Messiah. Take care of the people, you take care of the movement. It's not about these Jews. It's about Jesus, whom he hated. Verse 25. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law. They hated me without cause. You ask a lot of people, when they say something against Jews, why do you hate the Jews? Why are you anti-Semitic? Most of the time, I don't know. Once in a while, if you get some political guy, well, they run all the banks. Banks run all the money. Money's running the world. The world's a mess, so it's Jews. But that's about the best they can come up with. What does that have to do with the Jew that works right down the street from you? What does that do with about the Jew that you're talking about? They have no excuse. It's supernatural hatred without cause. Verse 26, when the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, Christ will send him from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. One of the most wonderful things about our study in the book of Acts is the study of the Holy Spirit. The power and working of the Holy Spirit. It is amazing how few people in churches today know about the Holy Spirit, know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, know how to walk in the Spirit, follow the Spirit, various words in the Bible. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Most people don't even understand about the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about just the body of Christians that you know, and why we're to love one another. We have been warned of these things that is now taking place in America and through the world near the end of the church age. And I firmly believe we are. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Why study 1 Corinthians 13? Because the world hates Christians. But we've been warned. 1 Timothy 4, 1. But the Spirit, Holy Spirit, explicitly says that in latter times, this expression is used to refer to the end of an age. Some believers will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, increase in the activities of the flesh nature, the sin nature. Romans chapter 1 is a perfect description. God will turn them over to the desires of their lust. That is what is happening in America. And it's going to get worse as more and more of them get completely over into their lust. And this, dear friends, is why we must have spiritual love toward one another. We're all in this world of war, a battle. Let's don't be like the Republican Party and fight against each other in difficult times. But let's take on the characteristic, I'm sorry, of the Democrats. The Democrats are doing it right. They hate Trump. Get rid of Trump. Forget all your little problems. Forget all of your crusades. Forget all that you want to do. Let's join together and get rid of Trump and everything he does. And they join together. And they're doing a masterful job. Republicans can't do that. I've got my little thing over here. Well, I've got my little priority over here. I got my little crusade over here. I got my crusade. I can't join with that. We can't do it. Republicans do not see the battle. They'll kill each other. They'll fight with each other. Democrats will join with any kind of Democrat. They don't care. If you will join us and against Trump and against anything and everything he does, his appointments to the Supreme Court, his foreign policies, his domestic policies, we're with you. If you're against those. And attack and say something derogatory no matter what. And if you can't think of anything, make up some stuff. Lies will become truth. And Democrats know that. They know it. They've joined together and are doing a great job today. Republicans don't even understand the issues. Don't understand the battles. They got their own little crusades. Their own little priorities. Their own little likes and dislikes. People, we've got to join together. Lay aside pettiness and love one another. Encourage one another. One of the most wonderful things in the study of Acts is a young man named Barnabas. Saul, the killer of Christians, came to Jerusalem. It was Barnabas who went in and sat down and said, "Okay, Saul, talk to me." And Saul told him about his conversion on the road to Damascus. Told him about what happened in Damascus. Told him about what happened the 3 years in the Arabian desert. And Barnabas put his arm around him and said, you're one of us. Let's go talk to the others. People, this is what we've got to do. Got to lay aside our differences. This chapter is crucial to the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. It's time to stop fighting with Christians. I don't care what your battle is. It's time to stop and love one another. And have all the impacts that we'll be studying in 1 Corinthians 13. See? Now let's continue 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some believers will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons. Now, that little phrase, will fall away from the faith. How does this reveal itself? How does falling away, a believer, falling away from faith reveal itself? American history is a good example. They, believers, will desire preaching that just tickles their ears, but does not teach their souls. And that's what most Christians want today. Bible churches are not ranging in the thousands any longer. And any one time they did. Many Bible churches, where the pastor teacher studies and studies and studies and studies and teaches, are not very big. Not very big. And are losing people. But the Word of God makes this clear. Makes it clear that this is what's going to happen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're looking at how does believers falling away reveal itself. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. This is how it looks. I, Paul, solemnly charge you, context, Timothy, application, every pastor teacher, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. People don't like that. Jesus Christ, the judge of unbelievers and of believers at the judgment seat of Christ. And by His appearing and His kingdom. Once again, we're reminded that every believer will stand before Jesus Christ, have our lives judged by Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat. Look at verse 2. Declare to the pastor. Preach, teach, proclaim the word. Not philosophies of man or stories that make people feel good, but study and teach the word of God. Be ready. You know what that means? Every time you stand up to teach, every time you get up to teach, be ready. In season and out of season. When believers are positive, it's in season. When they're negative, out of season. Why should a pastor teach when few or no one's there? Out of season. When people are negative. Because people, this vindicates God. No one's going to be able to say, we didn't know. How would we have known all of that? There were teachers in your time. I sent a missionary through your part of Africa. I sent a pastor to your area. I did this and that. You didn't care. You didn't listen. I'm vindicated. You're guilty. See? They cannot cry out, we did not have the truth. Oh, yes, you did. Continuing verse 2. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience. Makrothumia. The first word we'll study in spiritual love, long-suffering. And instruction, teaching. Verse 3. Okay, now we come to it, to what's happening today. For the time will come. This is now going to describe how falling away looks. In the last days of the church, when they, even believers, will not endure. This word hurts. This is the same word we studied in Colossians 3:13. Put up with one another. Endure one another. What is being said here is that believers will not even put up with sound teaching. They'll leave. They'll leave and go to a church where they do not have to put up with sound teaching, sound doctrine, teaching of the Word of God. Now look what it says. But wanting to have their ears tickled. You know what that means? They want to be entertained. Entertained by the preacher, entertained by music, entertained by presentations. But don't teach me the Word of God. Entertain me. Let me stand up and hoop and holler. Let me get all emotional. Let it be a big high. Let me feel good. That's what tickling the ears is. Entertainment. I like to have my ears tickled when I go to a movie. I hate to go to a movie where my ears are not tickled. I hate to go to a movie that just offends me. I want to go to a movie. Yeah, that was a good movie. That was good. But a church is different. You're supposed to go to church to learn the Word of God. Not to be entertained. Not to be entertained by music. Not to be entertained by the preacher and his lovely stories. Not to be entertained by presentations. Okay. For the time will come, close of the church age, when they, believers, will not endure sound doctrine, that sound teaching of the Word of God. Point one, point two, point three, over and over, all of these wonderful truths in the Word of God. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate, so since they will not endure sound teaching, and they want to be entertained, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. I look at something, don't watch it, but just it's going through. Joel Osteen has 100,000 people there, thousands. And I just smile. They're entertaining. They're being entertained. And that's what they want. That's what they want. They do not want him to stand up and teach the Word of God, even if he could. They don't want it. They want to be entertained. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Not what the Word of God says you need, what they say we want. Now look, continuing, what it means, they will fall away. And will turn away their ears from the truth. All through the Old Testament, give ear, give ear, give ear, listen. They will turn away their ears from the truth. And will turn aside to myths. It is amazing how Christians will put up with false teaching and endure it, but will not endure sound teaching. That's just too much like a college classroom. That's just too busy. I don't want to have to think that way. I just want to sit there and be entertained. I want to be ears tickled. I don't want to have to think of what the Word of God says. See? It's amazing how they'll put up with it, but won't put up with sound teaching. Verse 5. But you, pastors, be sober in all things. It doesn't mean not to drink. It means to be sober in your thinking about your studying and teaching. Endure hardship. Hardship, you know what that is? That's out of season. When people are leaving, when people don't want sound teaching. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, with that in mind, let's look at a passage in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 6. Look with me at Jeremiah 6. I spent more time in prayer for this morning's class than the actual study of it. Just put together things while we're studying spiritual love. Jeremiah 6:10. To whom shall I speak? God talking. And give warning. Warning. That they may hear. Behold, their ears are closed. They have itching ears. Ears are closed to sound teaching. And they cannot listen. Why can they not listen? Because their ears are closed. They cannot endure sound teaching. So therefore, they cannot listen to it. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. And I'll tell you what, I am so thankful for you few people that are here this morning. Delight in the Word of God. Delight in it. I delight in reading it. I delight in hearing it taught. I delight in having things opened up to me. I love it. I've been doing this for 45 years. I absolutely love studying the Word of God. I'm loving Acts. It's a different kind of study for me. It's not a verse by verse, word by word, syllable by syllable. But I'm enjoying it. It's just studying the Bible. It's exciting. The Word, they have no delight in it. And I just pray you will continue to delight in the Word of God. Now, I want to say something here. This is personal. And I'm in the Spirit. I'm very thankful for the Dags and the Wise, whose children, I'm sure, I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure, at some points came along and wanted to go to a more entertaining church, a bigger church with more young people, this type of thing. And both of these sets of parents have made it clear, this is our church. This is where you're going to go. When you're old enough to go on your own, go wherever you want. But in growing up, you're going here. I'm sure they said to them, I'm sorry they're not more. I'm sorry you don't have other friends there. But this is our church. And I'm very thankful to the Daves and to the Wise for making that decision. Over my 45 years in the ministry, I've lost many families whose children, just because of the children, they wanted a bigger church. They wanted a church with more activities. Didn't teach sound doctrine. And I've had parents come back and tell me, actually tell me, this year, not getting any doctrine, not getting any real biblical truth, but our children are happy. See? And not hear what they're saying. So I give thanks for the Wises and the Dates, their commitment to the truth. See? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why are we studying spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13? Why are we studying love one another? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this. Now, talk about time. We can spend an hour on the word realize. Get it in your soul. Meditate on it. Relate it to a lot of different things. That in the last days, compatible to the latter days of 1 Timothy 4:1, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Think you're reading headlines on today's kids? Absolutely. Unholy. Ungrateful. Not giving thanks. We'll see this in Colossians 3. Unholy. That means we're unbelievers. Colossians 3:12. We're holy before God because of Christ. Verse 3. Unloving. Therefore, we are to love one another with spiritual love. And all we know is that followers of Jesus Christ, how we're supposed to act toward other believers. Now, continue verse 3. Unloving, irreconcilable. Not just Muslims, but people in our political parties. Unreconcilable. Malicious gossips. We could talk about the wonders of Graham Bell inventing the phone. But boy, did he pick up something that just put gossip into a whole different orbit. Just put it into a whole different level. It used to be just over the fence, one neighbor to one neighbor. But boy, you got a phone, you can go everywhere. Gossips. I read a quote this week that said, the good thing about egotists is they don't talk about other people. malicious gossip, huh? Yeah, malicious gossips. We see this every day, especially attacking the Supreme Court nominee, Kavanaugh. Malicious gossips. Without self-control. You watch TV, you see that at the Supreme Court hearings. People are out of control. This is America. Supposed to have an adult meeting. Sign deciding whether or not we want a man on the Supreme Court. What is it is? No self-control. Idiots. Brutal. Haters of good. They call right wrong and wrong right. They call moral right wrong. Moral wrong right. Verse 4. We're not through with the list yet. Treacherous. Reckless. Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does your love for God show? People, it will show in how we love one another. Spiritual love. Verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I'd like to know, if I just started, how many churches y'all passed to get here this morning? The form of godliness. There are churches all over this country. Now what's funny? Not funny. Sad. Some of these churches are becoming antique malls, houses, this type of thing. Denying its power. Why do they deny its power? They have no idea of the Holy Spirit. Now look at the last phrase. Avoid such men as these. And love and encourage one another. Here's the ones we should avoid. Not Christians. I don't like this about them. And I don't like that about them. And I don't like this. Brothers and sisters and family members and church members and work. People, they're not the enemy. Get into our souls who the enemy is and where we are in history today. What we're commanded to do, to love one another, encourage one another, serve one another in love. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. And I love the first word. Know this from sound teaching of the Word of God. First of all, in reference to time, and what the Word of God has to say about time, that in the last days of the church, mockers will come with their mocking Christianity, mocking the Bible, mocking Christian morals. What are they mocking? The Word of God. What are they mocking? Christianity, moral standards, following after their own lust, which God will turn them over to, making them slaves of their own lust. You want to know what this looks like? Read on your own Romans 1, 18 to 32. I have it down here. We should take time now, but we're running out of time. Romans 1, 18 to 32 describes what this looks like. Look at Jude. Where's Jude? If you can find Revelation, you can find Jude. It's the book just before Revelation. But you, beloved believers, Colossians 3:12, ought to remember. Peter beckoned them to know the Word of God. Here you got to remember. So first of all, you got to learn the Word of God and then remember it. And remember it when you don't want to. Remember it when now's the time for you to have spiritual love toward another believer. Verse 17 of Jude. ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18. That they were saying to you, in the last time, again, the last days of this age, last days of the church age, there will be mockers. Peter mentioned this. Jude mentions this. Mocking of Christ. It's what we're living today. Mocking of Christian standards. Mocking of a sane marriage between a man and a woman. Mocking if you are against same-sex marriage. Mocking if you're against Islam and Sharia law taking the place of biblical law. Mocking if you believe that God is the creator of all things. Mocking if you stand with Christ. Mocking it. Mocking of Christ. Mocking of the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, written by all these different people, contradictions and all this. See? Mocking of Jews. And it's going on all over the world today. And will increase in the last days. Continuing verse 18. Following after their own ungodly lust. Ungodly is the key here. They will oppose the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 19. These are the ones who cause divisions. Worldly minded, devoid of the Holy Spirit. Classic example of America today. Verse 20. But you. Okay, you consider yourself a believer in Christ, having the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, growing in sound teaching of the Word of God, praying in the Holy Spirit. We had a wonderful time Wednesday night here, the first prayer meeting of Spring Valley Bible Church in a long time. Weren't very many of us, but it was a powerful prayer meeting. I thank God for it, and we're going to do it every Wednesday night, 6:45. If you can't stay for class, that's fine. You can come to the prayer meeting, can't stay for class, I have no problem with that. Please come to the prayer meeting. This church is lacking prayer together. The early church is characterized by praying together. We need to pray together. We're not early in our church history, but we need to pray together. Praying in the Holy Spirit. These are prayers God hears. Prayers in the Holy Spirit. Now, for our introduction to 1 Corinthians 13:4, look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? By faith in the Holy Spirit, who will pour His love in and through you. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. So now, as we move to 1 Corinthians 13:4 and following, I hope, I pray, that this is more than just a learning exercise, a warning and a challenge to each one of us, including me, regard one another. This church needs it. The church universal needs it. Spiritual love. Demonstrated. Now, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. What is it that the Holy Spirit will pour into us? We're going to look at 16 impacts of this love that will have an impact in your life in dealing with yourself, with God, and with one another. Love, spiritual love, love given by the Holy Spirit, is long-suffering. First thing said about it, it suffers. First thing said, love suffers. Is your love suffer long or short? Spiritual love is long-suffering. Love is kind and is not jealous. Does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act See, God cares what his love acts like. Does not act unbecomingly. What does that mean? Well, just to give you an idea, a skillet flying across the kitchen room is not something that is becoming. That's kind of unbecoming. See? Alright? Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. You know why a lot of Christians don't love one another? Because that other Christians hurt them. Spiritual love is a shield. It protects you against the hurt of another believer. Verse 6, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but doesn't go around and gossip about it either. Now, that's not what it says. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And then verse 8, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Does your spiritual love endure all things? And then the first line in verse 8, love never fails. So, these are the things we're going to be taking a look at for the next few days in our study of 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because of the time in which we live. To me, this has never been more needed than today to love one another as I've loved you. Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you've warned us, challenged us, exhorted us of our part in today's environment. Our part. What we're to do in our lives. The ground around us. How we're supposed to act. What we're supposed to do. How we're supposed to sound. I pray, Father, your Spirit could take the things we've seen this morning, use these things to the honor and glory of our beloved Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.